We've been in this series about mountain movers, but we've been really focusing on the pain of change. How many know that it's challenging sometimes to make changes? Again, like if you work out, there's pain and the muscle groups changing and it tears and it hurts. But last week we talked about peace. I don't know, has any of this been good for your soul, that what we've been talking about? It's been amazing. And let me just tell you this. This right here, we wanted to try to be a front for this whole thing. Instead of doing individual, we wanted to sit down like a couch setting and do this. But let me tell you what God, how good he is in this whole thing. We will kind of give an idea, but God will wreck our worlds individually. And when we come up here to talk, we didn't rehearse anything. There's nothing rehearsed. What happens in the moment is what you've seen and what you will see today, what God is doing, and he will use us individually in that moment. So that's what's been incredible, just to hold down on that. So I'm going to have my wife, she's going to kick this thing off, and we're going to talk about letting go. The pain of change, letting go. See, look, we don't have to touch anybody, but look at somebody and say, let go. Now look at somebody else over there 6 feet away and say, let go. Let's do this.
Not Lego.
Not Lego. But
it's just Lego. Let go. I know, right?
Yeah.
No, God, it's pretty awesome how God's been speaking to each and every single one of us about the different transformations and changes that have been taking place. And when we started the pain of change, I remember how we talked about that change is inevitable. It happens. It has to happen in everybody's life. Change takes place in every area, from growing from a baby to just emotional changes, physical changes. Every change that comes along, it's inevitable. You cannot get out of having change. You have to be able to know that there is change coming. So it's not like sometimes change is a surprise, but it shouldn't be a surprise to us that changes happen. It's a natural part of life. And as we were talking and just thinking about where we were and where we ended up with peace, God began to speak to us about letting go, because we can have peace that God's going to do something, and we can believe in him and trust in him that he's going to do something, but nobody can move forward and backward at the same time. It doesn't work out that way. I mean, you can try. You're not going to get anywhere because you're going to be pulled in both directions. And if you did, I mean, I've seen it where my kids have done it, where they literally looked backwards and walked forward and walked into walls or fell over or tripped over things, and it doesn't really work real well. And change is the same way. You can't move and change and get to that next level if you don't let go of where you are and what's been. And what's crazy about change is your past isn't always a bad thing. I'm talking about maybe routines of things that you're stuck in. Things that you do on a daily basis that God's trying to change up that rhythm because maybe he wants you to do something else. Or whether it's a schedule that you're stuck in, or the way that you, Pastor Brandon spoke about before we left, was about change your pattern. And in order for God to do that and that to be applied into your life, you have to let go of the same way and the same system or the past things that are holding you to change. Because we can come in here, I can say that now, we can come in here and we can lay, and you can come, even at home, you can lay all of your cares and your burdens down at God, at the altar of your heart, where you are. And you can go pray and ask him to change things in your life, and you can believe that he's going to do it and trust for him to do it. But maybe the reason you're not seeing full change is because when you left that moment, you still carried out with you what you carried in to lay down at his feet. And then you're saying, well, God, I trust in you, and I believe in you that you're going to do it. Why aren't you doing it? And he's saying, well, you haven't given me room to, because you're not letting go of what you're holding on to. You're still doing the same things. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, trying to get a different result. That's what it is.
The issues we have is, what I find is, people don't want to fully give all. They want to give a portion that might make them look good. You know, social media, show the best, hide the rest. Make them look good for a moment. But they hide these little things that they self-sabotage themselves. they hide something that they're like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I can get through that. I can't let this go because this is kind of one of those things that maybe I'm addicted to or this and that, and I cannot be without this. And God's like, I just need that one thing you can't be without. I mean, what would your worship look like if it was just on the edge? If your major breakthrough was when you just opened up your hand and let go of the path of everything. What would your worship look like if all you had to do was open that up and let go so God can take you to somewhere that's going to change everything? What would it look like? How would your praise look? When you knew that if you could just open your hand and let that go, it would change everything. Your breakthrough would happen, your healing, your financial, everything, if you would just open that up. A lot of times we're afraid of that change, and we're afraid to move because then in that moment, we have nothing, because when I hold on to something, it's become a, you ever have a child with a security blanket? It becomes a little blanket that when I let it go, I don't know what I need to hold on to. And all God is saying is just grab a hold of my hand. Let me take you for a walk. Walk with me.
Well, it's just easy principle of when you go to receive something, your hands have to be open and out to carry that. But if you go to God with closed hands because your clutched fist can't release what you're holding on to, you're going to walk away empty-handed still. And it's not on God. That's not on God right there. Because God is the Father who generously wants to give and who generously wants to take care of you. And I think a lot of times we place all that responsibility on God, saying, well, God, you should be doing this, and I need you to do this for me, and I want you to do that. And he's saying, I'm trying. Just let go. Just open your hands and let go.
Well, we have to be transparent. Because if we're not transparent, we know within ourselves what's going on. We know deep down, when we go and lay down in our own beds and we lay there and all these other things are going on, we know within our own selves what we need to let go of. And sometimes we're not transparent of that because we think that we have to hold on to it just like he said. And that's going to be the key today, is being transparent with yourself, that you search within yourself today.
I'm reminded of a woman in the Bible that literally went through some things that she had to realize that she needed to let go in order for God to really do something in her life, and her name's Hannah. And I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 5 there. And it says, Hannah, let's go back just for a second before I read this scripture. So what happens is, Hannah is married to a man named Elkanah, and Elkanah had another wife named Peninnah, and Peninnah was able to bear children. And every year they would go to the temple to give sacrifices to the Lord and to worship there. And every year when they would go up, year after year, what would happen is, as they're giving sacrifices, Peninnah would torment and torture Hannah because the Lord had closed her womb and she was able to bear no children. And all she desired was a child. That's all she wanted. And so what would happen as they were given the sacrifices and after that was done, Elkanah would give a portion to Peninnah and her children, but he would give Hannah a double portion. Because he loved her more than anything. He loved her, which is rare, you guys, even back in that time, because they married mostly so that heritage and lineage could be carried on. And if you were not able to reproduce, you were kind of shunned. But Elkanah was a different kind of man. He loved Hannah. He loved Hannah even more than he loved Peninnah. Even though she couldn't bear him any sons or any children, he loved her. But it wasn't good enough for Hannah at that moment. She knew what she had desired. She knew what was in her heart. And so as we get to this point, it says, but to Hannah, this is Elkanah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, and as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, Why do you weep and do not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? And after they had eaten and drunk, and Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she bowed and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And here's Hannah, she's praying. And she's sitting there, but at this point, she's weeping grievously, and she's praying, but she's not praying out loud. So her lips are moving, but nothing can be heard. So here Eli, the priest, is sitting at the temple, and he sees this woman, and he knows that they've come to give sacrifices, and we know at that point that, you know, wine was what they had and drank, and he looks at her and he says, woman, are you drunk? Pretty much, get that mess out of here. If you're going to sit here and blubber all over yourself and because you're drunk, because you can't even think straight, sober-mindedly, let's move on. Because you need it. Pretty much he said, get rid of all that. Quit coming to God drunk. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm just grieved in the depths of my soul for the changes that I have not seen take place. I believe in God, and I trust in him to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't keep coming year after year begging for something to happen. But I'm not seeing it happen. I'm not seeing any changes. And my heart is deeply burdened and distressed. And I know people feel like that. Because there's a difference when it's very hard when you believe in God and you trust in him to do something, but you're not seeing the result. That's a difficult place to be. It's tough. Because what happens is then our mind begins to play tricks on us, and the mind of the enemy begins to speak to us. And guess what? The enemy will always provoke your inability to change.
Every time.
He will always provoke it, whether it's in your control or not. And one thing I've learned about change is most of the time when change comes, it shows us how much we are not in control. As a raise of hands, how many of you know that since this pandemic came, it showed you how much you are not in control of life? And that's okay, because guess what? Changes come and happen, but when we trust in the Father and we lean on him and we rely on him, he comes in to be that secure anchor to our bodies and to our health and to our lives so that we can stay firm. But there's moments when we come in, and I believe that when we get to that point that we don't see things happening. So Hannah's praying, and then it says in verse 16, says, do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. How many of you have been there? Speaking out of your anxiety and your vexation. Your soul feels perplexed and it just feels conflicted. And then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her, and in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And what is powerful about the story, number one, that Eli didn't ask her what she was praying for. He didn't know what she was praying for. And in the end, if you keep reading on into the story, when she goes back and rededicates Samuel to the house of the Lord, she has to remind him, I'm the woman. This is what I prayed for. This is what I asked for. But the point right here that hits me the most, when you go back to verse 17, he says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. At that very moment, right after he said that to her, Hannah decided in her mind that this was the year, this was the day that she was leaving that right there on the altar, and she was letting go. And she got up, she wiped her face, she got herself together, she went and ate and went on to business, and her day, like it should have been a long time ago, she chose at that moment to silence the mouth of the enemy. She chose at that moment to take her hand, because I believe at that very moment, Hannah, in her very depths of her soul, realized, I cannot control this situation. I don't have the control. And I think because of that and her ability to let go, it wasn't until she let go that change took place. You want to see something happen? Let go. Open your hands and come to God with open hands. Let go. Quit holding so tight with clutched fists and knuckles that are bare white because you are so afraid of what's going to happen. Let go. He's not afraid that you're speaking to him out of your anxiety. He's not afraid that you're speaking to him out of your stress. What he wants for you to do is take it and go, but here it is. Yeah. And let go. Walk away.
I think also, you're either going to be a Hannah or you're going to be a Peninnah. You're either going to torment somebody or you're going to stand and go to the altar. And let me say this. I did a little study on it. And Peninnah tormented her every day, day after day, not just one time a day. And when I did a study on it, it said that she would, even when she would come back with her children, she would say, "Are you going to get your children dressed?" Asking Hannah that when they knew that Hannah didn't have any children. I'm talking about a torment. And she was tormenting Hannah the whole time. You ever had anything tormenting you every day and it's crawling up on your ear and it's saying this and saying that, and God says in his word, don't look to the left or to the right. But you can be a Peninnah. You can be the one that's tormenting something, or you're going to seek the face of God and keep standing there no matter what's going on. And no matter what's going on, even in the earth right now, even in the world right now, there's a lot going on, guys. There's a lot of torment going on, but are you going to keep on walking up into the sanctuary, walking up to the altar of your heart, and keep standing there where God wants you to stand? There's power in letting go. No, there's power in it. And some of you are so tormented. You're either a Peninnah or you're a Hannah. And I looked up the scripture, Isaiah 43:18-19. We know the scripture. But I looked up in the Passion, because I'm loving this, Pastor Joshua. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. Don't even remember these former things. What? I'm doing something brand new. Something unheard of. Even now it's sprouting up and it grows. And it matures. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking the word of God to you. Even now it's sprouting up and it's maturing. Are you going to receive that or not? Because the word doesn't go void. It's going to accomplish what it's sent to do right now. Even now, it's sprouting up and it's maturing. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and I'm opening up flooding streams in the desert. Just like God did for Hannah when she let go, he opened up the flowing streams of her desert womb. Even when she was there in a dry place, and you're in a dry place, he can open up floods of rivers in your life. But some of you allow the tormenting spirit, come on somebody, some of you allow that to talk to you, and then you all of a sudden start receiving all the torment, all the things. Well, I don't care if it's in your past that you remember. I don't care if it's right now. And you think your future doesn't hold anything? She didn't think that. She kept going back over and over. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to maybe shut my mouth. Did you say praise the Lord? Aye, 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 aye. I love you, Paul. One thing I want to say is there was a turnaround and there was a setup. When she gave Samuel, here she let go when she left the altar. Then she let go of her son. And all of a sudden, she started having more children, 3 daughters and 2 more sons. Every time she had a child, Peninnah, one of her children died.
Come on.
All the torment that she did, it turned around and took the enemy by surprise.
lost her children. But God was setting something up that says, you are not going to torment my daughter again. But she allowed that. She allowed that God was going to let things go in her heart. Can you imagine that you're standing, here's a wife with another wife. Hannah was married to him for 10 years and didn't have a child. So in this generation, they have to have another child because they have to have children to bless from generation to generation, what Pastor Jen was saying. So they live together. You ever live with something that's tormenting you? Hush your mouth, babe. Have you ever lived with something that's tormenting? Living with them day in and day out, and all of a sudden, Hannah's watching her other children, Peninnah's children, die every time she had a child. She buried a child. And God was not going to put up with things that were going on in that hour. There's power in letting go. So are you a Peninnah or are you a Hannah?
I guess it's my turn. All right, cool. I was thinking about something when you were talking about Peninnah driving her crazy. Something Jensen Franklin said years ago, that principalities use personalities.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, we can become the personality the enemy uses instead of the Spirit of God using us to help people get through. So stop being a principality. Stop being the son of the devil, right? So go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. I want to read this to you real quick, and then I got some things I want to release to you. If in fact you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self,
that's right,
completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Keep going. And put on the new self.
That's right.
The regenerated
That's
and
right.
renewed nature, created in God's image, God-like in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation.
Gratitude.
Go back to the verse before that. And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm thinking about this whole thing about letting go. Not really knowing what we were going to do today, I actually spoke Thursday night in the youth, and I spoke on contending for your what if. And for me, I'm sitting here thinking about Hannah, and I'm like, man, she was probably tormented. She was buried. Barren, and I think for me, it's sometimes your what if moments can cause you to be barren.
That's right.
So for me, I got pretty raw Thursday night, and I said, listen, here's the thing. I have a lot of what ifs in my life that I could sit up here right now and I could be trapped in my what if moments. What if I would have gone to school when I was younger and not having to do it at 47 years old? What if I would have ate right and lifted my whole time up until I was 47. I would be healthier. I would have all this going on. What if I wouldn't have ran from God? I would have served God all the days of my life. What if, what if, what if? And what the enemy does is he uses those what if moments to keep you trapped in a place where you never climb to the next dimension. If he can keep you trapped where you are, then you're not going to bother him. You're not going to be the one that torments him, because he's got you right where he wants you. He's got you in a place where you'll never be effective in the earth, where you'll never be effective and destroying the works of the enemy. He's got you trapped right where he wants you. And see, for Hannah, she kept going back and going back and going back. Sometimes in order for you to defeat the what if, you've got to keep going back and going back and going back. So that every morning, every day, you become renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, you think Sunday is for the renewing, but really it's every day for the renewing. I was listening to John Kilpatrick the other day, and he said, you know, he said, people get so stuck where they're at that they live off an encounter they had 10 years ago. They live off an encounter that maybe they had a month or two ago. But what we need to wake up to the reality is that there's an encounter hanging over you when you wake up every morning. And if you'll just get in the presence of God, if you'll just take that moment to be with Him, you will change every single day. There's a lie that was told to me years ago. I was thinking about this all week. There was a lie told to me years ago by multiple pastors that you cannot live in the glory realm all the days of your life. And I'm talking about in the glory of God. That you cannot live in that place because your body cannot handle it. Well, I'm going to speak something to you real quick. I have to live in the glory realm every day of my life, so that my mind stays renewed and recycled in the presence of God every day. And I think that's where Hannah got. Hannah got to a place where she got tired of hearing the torment, and she's like, the only place I know to go is the presence. So I'm going to keep going to the presence because my mind's going to be renewed. And I'm not going to listen to the tormenting spirit anymore. And what it's going to... Hey, I'm about to stand up. What it's going to do... I got two. What it's going to do is it's going to cause you... That dream that was dying, that thing that was barren, it's going to cause life to come in it, and it's going to cause you to stand up instead of sit down. Yeah. It's going to cause you to rise instead of fall in it. You might be sitting right now barren, but I'm here to tell you it's in the glory, it's in the presence, it's in the temple where He's at waiting for you to abide and live. My God.
It's because you open the womb of your soul when you let go of the past. You open the womb of your soul when you let go of the past, of things that are holding you, of your routines, of the things that are going on. If you want to be alive and have the living God live in you and bring forth fresh life, your soul has to be open. The womb of your soul has to be willing to receive the seed of His presence. And until you're ready to do that, you're going to be closed off and barren to what He desires. You have to do it because it's not about what you can do or what you can't do or what you have or what you do not have. But it's about what God can do and will do through you. And the only reason the enemy is at your feet trying to get you to be provoked all the time is because he wants to keep you in your past because he knows his future.
Paneia, the meaning of paneia is coral, which means hard stone. Come on, watch this.
Wow.
Which means adversary who provokes with spiteful words. Ones that tells others that God's not good or He's not kind. You ever had anybody tell you that He's not good and He's not kind and there's a hard rock that's trying to keep you from where you need to go? That was Paneia. That's what that meant. But Hannah meant favor. So it meant the double portion of God.
So you're trying to say that Paneia was the mountain?
She was
the mountain.
The rock that was standing in the way of the promise. The thing that was keeping Hannah in the valley. The thing that needed to move at the very last minute. But it wasn't about Paneia moving.
No.
It was about the move of Hannah to the presence of God.
That's
and when she moved to the presence of God,
it released
the
stone.
Nothing.
It released the hard rock. It released the ball stone. It released all that was holding on to you. Just like Pastor Brandon said earlier, and I don't know if y'all heard because there was a shout, but he said there was some people that God was healing their backs. He said some people God was healing something. There's a stone moving. There's rocks moving. There's situations that's moving out of your life today. There's no more Paneia. You don't have to have a Paneia in your life. After she released and there was a womb open, it just caused her not to have a Paneia in her life. She wasn't bothered anymore, even when it was in the house. She wasn't bothered anymore. It doesn't matter what's going on or who says what or somebody talks about your past. It could be 10 years ago and all of a sudden somebody says something. But if you're still
your life, it is time to let go. Let go. Open your hand. Open your heart. Let go.
Amen. Say, let go.
Let go.
Let go.
Let go. Let go.
I'm telling you, she would not, if she did not go to the Lord, you know, on her own, if she would have drug the situation with her, she would not have fully let go and had that encounter. The problem we have is we're so wrapped up in everybody's opinion about you. What people think, what they like or dislike. Did they like my post? Did they just, what kind of emoji are we using? You want to see mountains move. And they start to move, then it's your choice to let go and move forward. Don't drag your past through this moved mountain. Because if you don't, what happens is you start collecting the mountain, and by the time you turn around, you got the mountain right there with you again. The problem we're having is if you choose to pull your past into your present, it's going to affect your future. We see it all the time in relationships. We've had hurts and pains. And what happens is it affects the next relationship because we didn't let go of the last relationship.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to that man or woman that you're trying to get with. And in the end, it's not fair to them to carry on five other people when they just want you and you brought all these other people with you. Because you've brought them into the relationship that you've been hurt from. And so when we try to get to the Lord, we bring all of our pain from what people have done to us and say, I just can't respond to God. Because I've been hurt here, 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 and here. And so we treat God like he's a bad relationship. And that's not who he is. He's a good relationship. Man.
But Panea wanted to say he's not a good God. He's not kind. And she kept saying that.
Has anybody ever had like a Panea in their life that was always just getting at you? Yeah. Oh, for real.
What if the Panea is your mind?
That's right.
What if it's not anybody?
No.
But it's your own mind. The only thing that you're battling right here may not be anything that anybody's done, may not be anything that anybody said, but your own thoughts that you battle with every day.
I was telling the students this. Welcome to the living room. I was telling the students this, that for me, the Lord spoke to me a couple weeks ago, and I just began to ponder all the stuff that I said, what if, what if, what if. Yeah. And the Lord said to me, you have to change. He said, you have to change. And I began to go, well, how do I do that? How do I not live in a realm where I'm constantly reminded of my failures? Anybody feel that? How do you live in a place where you're not constantly reminded of your failures? And it's, some of you are going, well, stop listening to the enemy. I'm not listening to the enemy. I'm listening to myself. Because I'm constantly reminding myself of what I haven't done. And the Lord said, man, oh man. The Lord said, the key to getting rid of your past is repentance. It's metanoia. That's what he said to me. You have to metanoia. Means to repent. Means to have a change of mind. It means to change the way you think. See, we've always thought that repentance was coming to the altar, kneeling down, saying, I'm sorry, and doing a 360 and walking out. But a 360 brings you right back to where you started.
Yeah.
So he says, come to the altar. Don't do a 360. Just change the way you think. If you can get that fixed, then you won't sit around wondering what if anymore. See, your what ifs keep you from the now. My what ifs can every morning keep me from the new mercy if I'm not careful, because I'm still living back here trying to figure out what I messed up in. So when I begin to repent and I say, God, forgive me of my thinking. See, I think repentance repentance is repenting of the way I've always thought. And causing me to live different and change and think different. And when I begin to think different, I'm not thinking of the world anymore. I'm thinking of the kingdom.
That's right.
My mentality changes from the self to the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what really needs to change in each and every one of us. The way we think. I got to stop thinking of my flesh and I got to start thinking of the kingdom. When I start thinking of the kingdom, then I live in a place of the now and the moments. The waters and the rivers in the desert, right?
But like the what ifs can be about the past or it can be about the future.
Yeah.
We can get so caught up in the what ifs of things that haven't happened yet that we won't even be used by God because we're so afraid to be used by God. Because what if I fail? What if somebody don't accept me? What if I get this? What if this happens? I mean, let's be real about it. With this COVID thing going on, and it's been going on, how many people got into the what if? You see what I'm saying? And how many people slid over? Because when you start what if, then you're over into the spear chair. You start sliding over. And you've got to renew your mind daily, pull down every stronghold, renew that mind. And you have to let go. Because a lot of times when we do that, it's because we can't ever add up to something. And something has always happened. I'm telling you, when you let go, and it's that old saying, let go and let God. It's kind of the truth. Just let go. You know what I mean? You have to literally let go of it. If we're trying to get somewhere and we're holding on, somebody's got to let go. I need to get going into this. And what happens is if we drag all of our baggage that we don't have to drag, you get emotionally exhausted, anxiety, all this stuff starts piling up and you're just still dragging stuff and you're like, I want peace. I want joy. I want to have all these things. But you can say, and it can start affecting you, and you can start having those things. But I'm telling you, the moment you keep walking and trying to get to where God's trying to take you, you're going to lose your peace. You're going to lose your joy. Why? Because you keep dragging something you won't let go of. And then you lose your strength, and your strength's found in the Lord. And when you don't, Mom, here's the thing. When you don't, what happens is you start to use your own strength and you start pulling hard because you want your way because you have control.
I just got back from Florida and I had a really intense situation that happened to me. And I got caught under an undercurrent in the ocean. You're saying all that and now I'm sitting here thinking, I was out of control. I was being caught down in an undercurrent and couldn't get myself out. I was flipped over and over and inside out, and I thought I was going to drown. I'm a good swimmer, but it overtook me. My daughter tried to get me. She couldn't get me. I started pulling down into the deep water. Her whole body was going in. And you know, sometimes when you think that you try to do it yourself, and you try because things are feeling like it's out of control, and all of a sudden her husband come, and I'm telling you, I'm going under the water, flipping upside down, and the sand is dragging my chest, dragging my stomach underneath the water. And all of a sudden I felt two big hands grab over my hands and jerked me up. And my first thought when I got on the beach and I laid there and I was so shook up about it. He said, that's what I do. He said, I just grab your hands and pull you up. And he's just started revealing to me that sometimes things will take you, try to take you under a current. And the only hands that can really grab you and pull you up. And I kept saying, Kayla, I kept saying, I'm not going to have a fear. I have to go back in that ocean because I'm not going to have a fear of what just happened to me. I got to learn to face that right now. My daddy would say, you got to go face that right now. Because if not, you're going to be tormented with that for the rest of your life. Because that was so intense that happened to me, I had to go right back to that ocean, stand right back in there, and not allow that to happen to me. Does that make sense? And see, sometimes your situations that have undertook you and overtook you and put you and took you down into the ocean or took you down into situations, you're going to have to face faced that. Like Hannah did. Hannah went to the altar and she faced that tormented her.
Your story is not about your future. It's about God's victory.
That's right.
We're gonna switch gears. We're gonna get into a little bit of worship. We're gonna just close this down for now. And I'm telling you, I don't know what has been going on. I know we've all had some crazy stuff in the last 3 months, but we have to let go. We have to let go of past pain, past hurts. We got a new one. And what's crazy is like you want the mountain to move, and then when these mountains and these things move out of the way, then we got this deal. Is like, okay, now I have to let go. When Joshua and Caleb and all them started to cross over into the new land, if they wouldn't let go of the past, well, let's just look at it. God had to kill them all off so that they could move on, because the past was still dragging them down about the what ifs and all that stuff from the past. God wants us to be to let go of the past and move forward. He's got so much planned for you to do great things. The thing is I don't care how many times we say what we say, and I can encourage you all the days of my life, but you got to accept it for yourself of who you are in God, and that you're valuable, and that God can use you. We have to let go. The pain of change is letting go. And some of it is the past. Some of it's, maybe it's not even bad. Maybe it's just transition. You just have to let it go and see what God has. You ever seen that little picture? I've seen it a few times online, where a little girl has a teddy bear, and then Jesus is standing in front of her with a humongous bear behind his back, and he has his hand out saying, just let go, basically. And she's like, no, but I love this bear. But what she didn't realize was he had something even bigger and better for her. And I'm telling you, just let go and see what God is going to do. So next few minutes, I'm going to ask you guys to stand with us. We're just going to worship. And I'm going to tell you again, if you need to give and be obedient in those areas, the giving's on the way out and stuff like that. The kids check in. And one thing I did not mention, Remnant Youth is starting this Thursday night here in this building. And so we're excited about what God is doing. But can we, on the way out, before we leave, can we, and I'll close in prayer, but can we spend just a few minutes of just worshiping the Lord? And let this be between you and God. And listen, your let-go might be right in your seat. Your let-go might be right there. Let it fall to your feet, and you walk out going forward, loving all, serving all, and what God has in store. No more of the past, no more of the pain, no more of all that stuff. Because when we move forward, we move forward. We don't have time to look back. We've seen stories in the Bible when somebody looked back. They turned into some salt. The point is just don't look back. If he's got some place where you go forward, you run faster when you keep looking forward.
All I want is all.
chorus.
Not for a minute was I forsaken.
I don't gotta give up.
Lord is in this place.
He's here.
Lord is in this place.
Just let go.
Holy Spirit, drive us away.
Oh,
Lord is in this
place. Open your hands to him today.
Lord is in this place. Oh,
lift it up.
I'm letting go.
Come on, it's falling off. It's falling off right where we are.
I'm letting go. I see your presence, Lord. I'm letting go.
God just downloads it into us as we're here. As you leave, just let that just stir in your spirit. I'm letting go. I receive your presence. God, we thank you for this time. We're so grateful. Thank you for letting us gather, God. You said not to forsake the church. God, we've been operating, God, online. Let us continue to reach people that are not in this building. God, I pray that we start to let go, God, that you search our hearts individually of the things that we know inside of us, the fears and the anxiety and all the things from the past, the hurts that we have to let go of, God. You have a full, exciting life for us. And all you're asking is just let it go. I want to give you so much more. God, we choose, I choose this day to let it go. So I can pick up everything you have, God. God, because everything I hold on to is tainted. God, you have so much you want to give us that's so pure of who you are and your love. God, I pray you touch the people, God, as they go their separate ways. Keep them safe. Give them dreams. Give them visions, God. Give them opportunities to share your love with everybody. We love you, God. Until we meet again. Amen. We're going to continue to worship. You're free to go. They're going to have checkout. Share the messages that we have. Share with people. We love you today. God is so good. It was so amazing to see you. We can't wait to gather next week, Father's Day. There'll be a giving kiosk back there and all these up here. We love you.